Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs, assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the belief slash assumptions, RL what you see. Example, the voices say it's irresponsible to get a massage. Belief, I don't deserve it. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hello, Todd.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Am I echoing?
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're perfect.
Oh, thank you. So great. wow. This is probably my most highly charged content in suffering is finances and money. Mm. Yeah. And what I noticed about tracking the voices and what they say, it seems to arise mostly around, seems like a simple little bit of content, but it really reveals a lot of process, is purchasing organic foods.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the winter here, we get a lot of it from Southern California and Mexico, so there's a lot of transportation costs, and it's about three times mm-hmm. higher than when I'm in California.
Mm.
And the voices have a lot to say about paying $5 for a green pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I was feathering out the beliefs and assumptions around that, and it looks like it's like scarcity and deprivation and worthiness is all kind of tied in that I'm not worth it to spend that type of money on really quality, healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a belief as well, it looks like, that conditioning tried to say that, well, organic foods aren't any different than regular foods. It's just a marketing scam to make more money for the supermarkets.
Yeah, if you take the poison out of the equation, then that's really true, isn't it?
That is excellent. Yeah, and you said something, I heard you say something just recently about that you know, when we do buy organic foods, we're supporting those folks that are stewarding the planet and doing, you know, farming and growing practices that assist the planet in restoring itself, and not, like you said, a lot of our food production is with chemicals and poisons and it can't be healthy for the body. So I really get that opportunity, and it's quite often, probably twice a week when I purchase goods, to look at those assumptions and beliefs and the resistance to spend that extra money to get organic produce and organic foods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Todd, it's an argument for you coming back to California, but that's
gotcha.
That's for another discussion.
Thank you. Perfect. Yes, I agree.
At least for the winter.
At least for the winter, yeah. At least in the summer here, we have a good growing season. We have a lot of local farmers that we get local produce, and a lot of it's organic, and that's nice.
Uh-huh.
But,
Yeah. And the other thing, of course, that I'm curious about with this is, does that system tell you what you're, so you're not spending the money to take care of yourself?
Yeah.
And so what is the point of having the money?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's such a great point. What's the point of having the money? oh, wow. I've never examined that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I bet a lot's going to drop in, huh?
Yeah.
A lot more beliefs and assumptions.
Yes, thank you for that. That is critical. What is the point of having the money? Yeah. Yeah.
I think about Janet yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You can't spend it. Well,
yeah.
Why? Because I'm going to save it for the catastrophe that's going to wipe out everything I have.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And, you know, we can laugh, of course, about these things, that places we get into when we're not in them. But when we're in them, they make complete, absolute sense, and it,
yeah.
and we're told that, that's really practical. And so just to get really clear for you, you know, mm-hmm. is this going to be the difference between you not having a roof over your head or that sort of thing, or mm-hmm. is it another one of those conversations that just hasn't really been looked into?
We just
so assume it's true.
Yeah, it's one of those conversations I haven't looked into. The difference between regular foods and organic foods will not make me homeless at all. Absolutely. I definitely have the financial capability to purchase organic and to support my well-being through that process. And just mm-hmm. believing that argument A, I can't afford it, or B, it's a scam, or C, kind of like Janet's argument a bit too, is we're saving it for what ifs, what if we need this, what if we need that, it's not now, it's always in the future, it's projecting constantly into the future that, well, we're going to need that money, we can't spend it today. Thank you
all
for
right.
that,
well,
was
glad
huge.
We're doing this.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Okay, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too.
Thanks,
Go
Todd.
Happy.
Oh, what a brilliant question, Sherry. It really is that the thing that's not available as long as I'm living in the conditioned... Sherry, I'm not able to mute Todd. At least I'm trying to mute him, but there we go. The question that just breaks through the conversation, really the thing that we need to ask so that we are popped out of that conditioned box that is attempting to solve the problem.
Yes. Yeah. Do I actually have a problem?
That's right. Well, why would I have the
question
money?
We're asking.
What would I spend the money on? Yeah. It's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And it takes being out of it to have that clarity.
Yes. Yes, which is the whole, it's the be-all, end-all of awareness practice, isn't it? We're attempting to extricate ourselves from that morass of beliefs and assumptions so that we can have a different view. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, it was Janet's friend saying something to her that just kind of flipped her out mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. That combination of unexamines and and that's what we're doing constantly in awareness practice is attempting to get here in the present so that we can actually see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Swinney. This is Chris in North Carolina.
Hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Great fun. And I was looking at the belief that, that money and having the right amount of money will solve, as you guys were talking about, will solve all of my, in quote, problems. And so if I, let's see, how does that go? So if I don't have enough money, let me back up here. So if I have a belief that there's something wrong with me and then I don't have enough money, that will just reinforce, there's nothing I can do about that belief that I have something wrong with me. And then on the other side of it, if I have more money and that belief that there's something wrong with me still continues, then again, that's proof that I just need more money. And so, because more money will solve that problem. And then overall, it really goes to no matter how much money I have, I'm helpless to prevent that belief system, that belief that there's something wrong with me.
Wow. Oof. Layers and layers and layers, huh?
exactly.
And when you lay it out like that, Chris, it is so obvious that you are not alone in that. And one of the things that fascinates me about where we are as a country right now in the United States is that what has been revealed is the just mind-boggling gap in financial well-being, right? Just mind-boggling. And I suspect that what you've caught on to is the root cause of that. So I'm not okay. And none of us is okay. Are okay, is okay. Anyway, whatever form that is. Because we are all going to face we know not what, and we're all going to die. So in that sense, we are not okay. Now, in every other sense, we could be, but most folks are not going to do what's required in order to reach that place of being in a relationship with oneself that no matter what happens, we're here together, I'll be with you, it'll be fine, we're fine, okay? And so then if I don't have that relationship with myself, well, then I need a lot of protection.
Right. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And no matter what I do, it's never enough. So
no.
It's a typical thing where conditioning is asking us to solve, well, it thinks, I guess, the belief is that content will solve a process problem.
Yes.
What conditioning always gets us up against.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I won't have to face that. I won't have to. I know that I can afford the best medical care on the planet.
Right.
I can be wherever. I can be completely removed from every, you know, with climate change. Somebody said to me recently, well, the people who are fighting so hard against it are the people who are going to be all right, at least for a lifetime, because they'll be able to afford to be wherever it is relatively safe and to protect themselves against whatever is happening.
Yeah.
So we can see how that belief system can get hold of somebody and begin to dictate life choices.
Yeah, in a really powerful way, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, you know, it's a chakra issue, as we talk about, right, a survival issue. And so it doesn't need to make sense logically if it's a survival issue.
That's right. And the important thing of what you've brought to us this morning is it's never going to work.
Right.
Unless we move into a relationship with ourselves in which we are confident that we will be all right no matter what, we are doomed to live in that anxiety and dread, right? Because this solution doesn't work with this problem. So I keep piling up solutions in the form of more and more money or whatever it is, but it doesn't address the problem. So the anxiety just grows.
Yeah. You know, and it's fiendish in that we can have those honeymoon periods where we buy something, get something new, and it does seem like it's working. But the half-life is way shorter than the place that you're talking about, in my experience, the knowing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that kind of payoff decreases with time, which I suspect. Because after a while, you bought everything you wanted, and you're still in the same place. So that's a growing clue for us, right? But I suspect that that's why somebody needs $10 billion or $50 billion or $100 billion in order to have a sense of power and well-being.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, and the toll it takes on the planet is just immense. So
yeah, it's horrific.
Yeah. And there was one other thing which was...
Go ahead.
Let's see. It just escaped. I know what it was. So spending, there were some parallels between and some beliefs between spending time and spending money. Those two seem to go hand in hand. And that I forgot where that was.
Oh, it must be a good one, Chris. It's trying to get away as fast as it can.
With time, here it is. So with time, it's the way we talk about it is there is the speed of life, and then what conditioning wants is for us to move us out of that into either going a little bit faster than the speed of life or a little slower than the speed of life. So we're always off guard, always out of present. And then with money, it seems the expression, do what I can with what I have applies in that same way, that what conditioning wants us to do is to do either more or less than what I can with what I have. And again, always keeping us out of that middle zone where all of the abundance really lies.
Yes, yes. And the bottom line with that process is ego stays in control.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because the ego conversation and conditioned mind is what we're looking to know about time, about money, about everything. Right?
Yeah,
but with,
yeah,
as you point out, with those two specifically, if it can control us about time and about money, that's a lot of control it's exerting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What else is there, right?
Right. <You know. laughs> Yeah, well, we could fit
the
most things
world,
in under
much.
Those
yeah.
headers, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, well, all right. Very good.
Well, on thank you, Chris. Yeah,
thank you.
Here we go. All right. Hey, see you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.
Hope he hasn't forgotten we're going to see him soon.
I doubt it.
He remembers, yeah.
No. So a little to add to that conversation, Sherry, except that such a reminder of the futility of the conditioned process. As Chris mm-hmm. said, you know, content to solve a process problem, or as you said, the solution is mismatched to the problem, and so the
yeah.
search will be eternal. It
yes.
it'll never lead to fulfillment because it isn't designed to.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And not to know yeah. that, and to be caught in it, and then wondering why we feel so dissatisfied, why we feel so not alive.
Which is why there are so many people who believe that people who don't have are inherently worse off than people who have, and mm-hmm. that people who have are automatically the enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are, and it just shows the deep belief, the shared belief that if you have, you're fine. You're fine. And you're just being selfish if you don't share what you have. But when we see this underlying process, then we can realize we're all in the same, fighting our
process.
Way out of those same belief systems, because
mm-hmm.
the person who has a ton, and you can look at them and tell by the way the look on their face and the way they carry themselves that they're not happy. So, first of all, that can give us more evidence that, well, I think that doesn't work. Could point us to the right direction to look, that what will actually help us with this, and help us get out of that belief that it's having
yeah.
that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. It all,
having
it also, if we, yeah, and in realizing that for ourselves, I think we also alter the way we approach problems that are caused by the same belief, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. You mean as was just stated that so much of what's happening with our planet right now is rooted in this belief.
Right, but and or you know that if happiness is not received by the quest of stuff, it's non-separation that is going to assist us in fighting the larger problems we face as human beings, right? In human,
yes.
Universal problems, planetary problems, whatever
yes.
it is,
yes.
problems of economics or social or anything else, it comes from that place of non-separation that the solution arises. Otherwise, we're always solving for the wrong problem, right? Because
yeah.
conditioning
yeah.
has us in its world where the focus is on the wrong thing.
Yes. Yeah. And we throw in things like urgency and fear and confusion and all of those things. And we're struggling a lot. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pat in Asheville.
Well, hello, Pat.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. Geez, I'm so happy and thrilled to be part of this conversation today. This particular topic has been a huge problem for me for many, many years. And I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, this was after I was in practice, I was nearly going bonkers at Christmas time over buying gifts. And it was just driving me nuts. And I finally decided, okay, forget this. I'm just going to turn this over to the mentor and see what she has to say, because it was really stressful. And it was, mm-hmm. It was like all this judgment involved in how much to spend for this person and how much on that person. And it just was totally eating my lunch. I just, I couldn't live like that. And because I care about all of those people, and I would love to be able to lavishly buy whatever they needed. They're all my kids, and grandkids, and how you want to be, to help them out if you can, and give them whatever they need. But you can't do all of that. The previous callers, the things you would like, pardon me. like to spend money on, you just can't, you don't have that much money.
mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so I, with mentor's help, came up with a very good solution. I just send everybody a check for the same amount and just automatically sit down and write it, no agonizing over that. I decided how much I could spare, how much I can spend on mm-hmm. one of the kids, and that's what I do. And I have had pleasant Christmas season since then.
yes. Well, and you, again, you can look around, or you were able to, or you can now, and realize how many people are trapped in that same thing, right? That Christmas is supposed to be the happiest time of the year, and for
mm-hmm.
most people, it is anything but. It is stress and agonizing and misery and hard feelings and resentment and why? Because of this same thing that we're talking about. Because there are all of these shoulds, and what I buy for you is an indication of how I feel about you. And if you have more than I have, then you should give me that so that I hit you. I mean, it's just on and on and on. So people go way into debt. They pay it off all year long. It's a mess. So the thing that I appreciate so much about what you said, aside from the sensible solution, is that you looked at it from a point of view of you're not going to let ego sacrifice you for those beliefs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It was so uncomfortable. I had to do something.
Well, yes. And it would talk a lot of people into depriving themselves in order to make this gesture that has not even been checked out, right? So you say to your kids, now I would like to write this check for you, but just know that what that's going to mean for me in the coming year is that I'm not going to be able to X, Y, Z. And they would say,
yeah.
Mom, don't write
right.
the check. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So that's a really important piece of this, because what ego wants to do is, I'm going to leave you out of the equation because you're not as important as I am. And then I'm going to get left out of the equation because I'm not as important as you are. And again, in that way, ego maintains all the control and everybody loses.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it, I am so much better as a sane person for everyone.
Everybody wants their mother and grandmother to be sane.
Yes, pretty much. I hope they do.
But, I hope they do, too. That's an assumption.
Wednesday's assignment, where we were just keeping up, trying to keep up with all of the times during a day that some kind of money-related thought would pop into my head, and it was just absolutely astounding. I mean, it's anything from the price of potatoes to the looking at the ad for shoes and the price of, you know, the shoes, and just so much about money, it just eats away at our lives, and I'm, you know, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. Well, and it sounds like you've made a big, big start in that direction. And now it's fine-tuning it, right, to realize, it's not just the checks to the kids at Christmas. It's potatoes. I have to have a money conversation about potatoes. Yeah, so again, what would I like the focus of attention to be on? If not,
right.
Ego talking to me about how much things cost and can I have it or can I not have it or should I or shouldn't I or what does it mean if, what might we be attending to?
Yes, and I think the answer to that is life, right?
I think so, yeah. That's what we're closing in on, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you guys so much. I just appreciate you so much. And this is a great, great topic that we've been working on this month, and I'm looking forward to all the rest of them.
I know. We're just going to cover the waterfront here before it's over, aren't we? Nothing.
Yes, and I'll meet every single one of them.
Yeah, good. Me too. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pat. Sherry, we have about 2 minutes. Shall we get on another caller?
Let's do.
Okay.
Come on, we can do
it. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Well, hey, Elizabeth. What
hey, you thank you so much for squeezing me in. Thank you so much. What I'm practicing with this question is there is a sensation. It's not a like a voice with a belief, but there is a sensation with a whole worldview about the future. And when I have the sensation and that kind of worldview about the future comes up, then my vision kind of changes and everything goes from color to grayscale as well.
Mm.
So it's really hard to get out from under that, but I won't stop trying.
Right. And so the common thread is the future. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's,
but
it's
like a whole world view. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With the future, not so much the past. It's not torturing you over the past as much as when it's presenting the future for you. And it's a
yes.
not a happy picture.
Well, it's through that sensation, so it's very unhappy and it can be very convincing. Even when I have a recording going 24/7 refuting that, you know, and saying what is true, it's just like
Well, and that's critical to see, isn't it? So I feel this way based on the sensations, the beliefs and assumptions, the meaning that all of this. So I feel this way. And when I look out through the lens of this feeling, this way of feeling, then that's what I see as my future. Now, sitting here, of course, we know it's not because things change from moment to moment. But when we're identified in that way, then how I feel now is how I will always feel.
Or what's happening now is what's going to always happen. Yeah, what's unfolding now, the terrain of the mountainy terrain of whatever's unfolding now is the mountainous terrain that's always going to be unfolding.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we know that's not true. Yet, as you say, when we are in it, it's very difficult to imagine that it's not true, which, of course, is why you're working to disidentify from that, right? You've got those recordings going, and what you're doing with those recordings is attempting to get out of that feeling. Because here's the thing, Elizabeth, that feeling will always be that feeling. So if we give it this label, okay, if that feeling is depression, then every time I feel that, I will, in quotes, be depressed. Now, is that the only thing that exists? But it's like a hammer is never going to be a screwdriver. Okay? A saddle is never going to be a bridle. How's that? Right?
Yeah.
It is what it is. And for us to get that set of sensations and beliefs and assumptions, when they come together, that produces what they are, is that shades of gray future. That's one thing. Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it's only moving out of that gives us the opportunity to see something else.
Yes. Okay, and I just want to ask really quick. So I have the recording 24/7 that refutes mm-hmm. that and says what the mm-hmm. truth is, because the sensation is pretty gripping, so I need something all the time to dispute it. But mm-hmm. and that's working out my own salvation diligently, I hope. But I also feel like I have to pray for Christ to drive out demons, because it feels like a demon.
Yes. Well, and that's okay. My encouragement to you is to turn your attention, focus on what is around you that is real. Okay? So, If you look out those mountains and you find them beautiful, or you see a flower and you get down really close to that flower and you talk to and about that flower, about how beautiful it is, about while you're doing that, that feeling and that conversation in your head won't be there. Okay? And that's what we need to prove to ourselves. It's only real when we give it attention. So is it a demon? I don't know. I have no idea what the heck is going on with this. No, that's not true. I have a lot of ideas, but I don't have any certainty. So why is this like this? I don't know, but it certainly is. And so whatever you can do to help yourself get into the present and not give attention to that, that's going to serve you.
Yeah, and I guess that's focusing on the words of my reassurance, because they're very good words there.
Yes, and let that move the feeling.
Yeah.
Move into that feeling. You are so welcome.
Thank you for squeezing me in. I know we're over, so, but thank you.
A pleasure. A pleasure always.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And that brings us to the end of a wonderful show, Sherry. Our assignment is a little bit of a long one, so here we go. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me, I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Your assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. Record and listen to what you see. The example, the voices. You can't afford to do that. You need to invest that for your future. My partner is not indulging like I am.
What about those people in the world who don't have food to eat? They're not getting a massage. I'm too busy. The eyes. Responsible. You need to invest that for your future. You can't afford to do that. Guilty. What about those people in the world who don't have food to eat? They're not getting a massage. My partner's not indulging like I am. Stressed. I'm too busy. Record and listen.
What an exciting time.
I know. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.